Hey guys, we are back again. Both of us still sick. Well, I'm sick. I'm not sure about you, but this is Jen.
This is Carrie.
And you sound really happy today, Carrie.
Yeah, I feel like I'm the only person that I know that's not sick, apparently.
And you're still sniffling.
Yeah, and that's allergy related.
Right.
March.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, luckily it's almost over, and, you know, another year has come and gone for me, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The first day girl.
Yes. We're not saying how old. We'll continue along with the, we're people of a certain age.
Yes, people of a certain age. I like that, too.
Yep, and this person of a certain age is dealing with shingles, if that gives you any indication.
Okay.
As to what that certain age is, so.
People of a certain age dealing with shingles, yes.
Yep, and it is not pleasant at all, so.
Right.
If you hear me, just start cursing just out of the blue. That's just me. Just forget it. All right. Have we heard any news from our boys this week?
None.
Absolutely none. Me either.
Right.
Me either.
Right.
So they, at least they are keeping a low profile.
Yeah.
That is a good thing. I didn't realize, and I guess I probably should have after watching the trial. Oh, Leo DiCaprio scored with Amber Heard. I just read the news stories about all that.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio had an affair with Amber Heard while she was married to Johnny.
While she was married? What?
Yup.
Wow. Okay.
Yep, both Johnny and Leo kept quiet about it. Until after the trial, Amber's the only one who ran her mouth about it, and then it seems they've come to terms with it, I guess.
Yeah, well, so after the fact now, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
And God, Leo's probably thinking, Johnny going, oh, I don't know, you just don't know how close that was.
Right, that was a dodged bullet.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Because I have no doubt that she would have done this to any famous person that she had wedded.
Yeah. Didn't she acknowledge, or wasn't there some sort of acknowledgement that she had an affair with James Franco during the thing?
Kind of, sort of, not really.
Okay.
It's a known fact, but she hasn't, admitted
like
it.
Publicly,
admitted it.
Yeah.
And neither has he.
Got you.
But yeah. So last week we kind of looked at the historical roles of Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah.
We decided we were going to do this week the same with Johnny Depp once again. I did not consider what a feat this would be. Now, if you're talking biographies. We have everything from Black Mass to From Hell, which is Jack the Ripper, sorry.
Yeah.
To The Libertine.
Love it.
Yup. To Donnie Brasco and Public Enemies. So all of those I would consider period pieces, wouldn't you?
Yeah, hell, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, that's a period piece.
Absolutely, I didn't even think about that, but you're right, it is.
It's just a bunch.
It absolutely is. 23, when you're considering the pieces, the period pieces as well as the biographies, 23. And I'm including stuff, of course, like Dark Shadows.
Yep.
That was 70s. In the 70s. Yep. And then you've got Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, certainly.
Sweeney Todd.
Finding Neverland.
Yep, and let's not forget, Platoon.
Yeah. Oh, my God, let's not forget Platoon.
Absolutely. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yep, Donnie Brasco, Diary. Wow, get it, Crybaby was a...
Crybaby definitely is on the list.
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Was that a period piece?
Well, it was modern day at the time, but we're talking 80s, 90s.
Yeah, okay.
So, I'm sorry. Like I said, anything past 30, about 30 years old, I'm considering a period
piece. Yeah, it is technically, the film itself is a period piece.
No kidding, right? Point.
Good Lord.
Yep, and of course, we're also including stuff like Ed Wood.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Lone Ranger.
Yep, Lone Ranger.
And, of course, Pirates.
Oh, all of the Pirates movies.
Right.
All of them.
Yes.
But, all right, so what are we discussing as far as Johnny Depp's career? We hit Hiddleston hard with what we would like to see him do.
Yeah.
But Johnny has done just about everything. So where do you think we should go here?
Well, you know, for Johnny, and, you know, I'm just going to say this, and I'm not by any means kind of either trying to predict what he's going to do, and I'm also not trying to give this man career advice.
Right.
But that being said, and I'm not trying to sound alarmist, and if you want to talk about this for a little bit, we can.
All right.
But, you know, it might, let's think about the possibility for a few years, Johnny not doing any movies.
Oh.
Like, yeah, I could see him, you know, he's got the music.
And that's really where it's marked.
The music is something that he loves, and it doesn't quite get, like, the media coverage and the press junkets and the, you know, the movie posters and stuff like that.
Right.
Like the movies do. And I'm sure he has got to be sick of just celebrity as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
At this point.
Sure. Sure.
There's very possibly some other studios that for the next couple of years at the very least are like, you know what, whether he was right or wrong.
It's still a big scandal.
It's still a big scandal. Exactly. Exactly, Jen. You know, and they're like, you know, we can't go with somebody else. And maybe they pick a star of equal power. You know,
and
that being said, I think there is a distinct possibility, given the, you know, you opening this thing up and going, any news? Nope.
Right.
And there hasn't been news in a couple of months. And I'm not saying that it's announcing a trend, but the man owns islands.
Right.
You know, is there any reason for him? I mean, obviously the artistic stuff, but is there any reason for him to do a movie and grab like $3 million when he's already got like, who knows, like $588 million?
Right. Right, and the music is really where his heart lies anyway.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Something
I learned from this podcast.
He has always, always considered himself a musician.
It was his first choice, right?
Absolutely. And his first band was, I believe, The Kids.
Mm-hmm.
Is it The Kids? You got me on that one once before, so.
The Kids, that's right.
Because I said The Boys, and it's The Kids.
Yeah, and like I said, I've learned a lot from this podcast, and it seems like that was something he was doing when, you know, correct me, maybe, but he was really, really young.
Well, he quit school at, if I'm remembering correctly, he quit school at 15, just before he turned 16, to follow his music career. And tried to re-enroll like 2 weeks later. And his principal, the principal of his high school, refused to allow him to do it. Not for the reason that you would think. His principal said, and I wish I could pull up my sheet. I didn't think about this earlier, but the principal basically told him that he would be doing Johnny a disservice, as well as the musical community, if he allowed him to re-enroll in high school, that he needed to go out and follow his dream.
Wonder who that guy was. That's really cool.
I would love to know that. I could probably find out.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if he's talked to him later.
You know,
a lot of Johnny's development was his early, early, early days.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
You know?
Yeah, I would kind of like to
see how that went.
I'll have to do a little bit of research on that and see if I can come up with a name, maybe, and possibly see if we can find out if they had any communication.
Yeah.
Definitely. That goes on my to-do list. But, all right. I know your Once Upon a Time in Mexico was one of your favorite movies, right?
Absolutely top five.
All right. Well, I'm trying to think. They didn't have cell phones in that movie, or did they?
What, in Black Mass?
No, in Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Or, pardon me. Yeah. I think there was an incidental... He wasn't using it. No, he was using it. Yeah, he okay. ended up, I think,
that's right, with the kid.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So maybe we can, maybe we don't need to count that one as a period piece because it does have the technology and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, trying to think.
I mean, there's so many. He ended up doing, what was it? Waiting for the Barbarians?
Waiting for Barbarians. That movie terrified me. I watched the first scene and could not watch the rest.
Yeah. Robert Pattinson was in it, which was really interesting. You know, Johnny Depp with Robert Pattinson. That's kind of a cool...
Yeah.
...joining, you know what I mean?
Well, but they've both played vampires, you know. They've both...
Yeah, and I hate it, but... You know, whenever we talk about our favorite Johnny Depp movies, I always end up getting, like, the weird, just off-the-wall... Not even off the wall, but just not expected stuff. And along, yeah, both of those, you know, that and Once Upon a Time in Mexico, huge favorites.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really? Waiting for Barbarians is one of your favorites. Johnny scared me almost.
No, you were talking about Dark Shadows.
Oh, yeah, Dark Shadows, yeah. Dark Shadows is definitely in my top five.
Is it? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So,
please, you're talking about Vampyra herself.
Oh, my God. Right? Right?
Yeah.
You know, and maybe while we're talking about this being a period piece thing, we should talk about our top five, if you will, or top three, if you wanted. Though that would be even harder.
Yeah, let's
Johnny movies. But that being said, I have kind of found... You know, I love the Libertine. I have found that it's kind of a 50-50 mix of historical pieces and modern-day pieces.
Okay, well, it's kind of hard to have 50-50 with five movies, but...
Well, you know, yeah, pardon me. Right down the middle, 2.5.
There you go.
2.5, because, you know, hey, Dark Shadows wasn't perfect, so I'll give it, you know, 2.5. Anyway, whatever.
All right, well, if we're talking top three...
Yeah, if you got a top three, what do you got?
Oh, God, if you're going... Oh, I don't know that I can narrow it down to three.
Okay, listen, let me ask a question, and this might make some hot takes. Let's go in this direction. What are... And I swear to God, I'm not trying to make you defame the name
of Johnny. All right, what you got?
Let's talk about a couple of his roles that you thought were kind of overhyped. Were there some where you were like,
I don't know that there are any that I would say were overhyped. There were several I didn't like.
Okay.
But yeah, overhyped, no, because he always, always, always pulls through. He always brings his A game, and he always meets the mark. So, you know, I can't say anything was overhyped.
Okay.
But yeah, there were a few that I just did not like. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
You know, and you've mentioned that before.
Well, I couldn't watch it. I've been on those trips with no luggage, and no,
right,
could not handle it at all. Let's see, his character in Waiting for Barbarians.
No, unpleasant.
Very unpleasant. And of course, when he played Whitey Bulger, you know, he was brilliant as Whitey Bulger. Okay. He was terrifying as Whitey Bulger. So, you know, that one really got me.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so this was him just being more really effective, and you're like,
essentially,
ugh,
yes.
Got you.
I didn't care for the Lone Ranger.
Okay.
And I am not alone, apparently.
No, right.
But yeah, right. I liked the movie. It was okay. It was not all that. I expected a little bit more, having watched the series when I was younger.
Okay.
So, you know, it didn't live up to expectations, because I figured with the technology and stuff we have today, this was going to be spectacular. And it just wasn't. So, have you seen it?
Like, some.
Right.
You know, some. I don't... Right. You know, there are some where I'm kind of, you know... He's not always hit or miss. Like, I understand where he's coming from, especially, like, his independent films. And I'll go ahead and, like, throw this out right away. I understand that he did a fantastic job. And he really did when he was Captain Jack Sparrow.
Absolutely.
That being said, I am not a fan by any means of the Pirates of the Caribbean films.
Really?
I'm not. It's Jerry Bruckheimer, and it's basically just, you know, may as well be Michael Bay, just tons of overblown CGI and action, and the only redeeming quality of those movies is Johnny Depp.
Wow.
That being said, that's, you know...
Okay.
Kind of hard to necessarily hate on Johnny when he's the only thing that's saving this bloated Disney film. So.
True. I remember going to Disney World with my parents when I was really young, and the Pirates ride and the Haunted Mansion ride were my two favorites. So, you know, it's kind of nostalgic for me. The Pirates movies, with the added bonus of two absolutely beautiful men. With one absolutely, well, one or more, depending on the film, absolutely beautiful women, you know, that you get to watch for 2 hours. So, hey.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it still has some redeeming qualities, and I've seen all of them. Don't get me wrong.
I have not.
You haven't seen the latest one, right?
No, I have not. I'm basing my opinion on the first three.
Gotcha. Right.
Because to me, those, you know, after the first three, they started getting kind of stupid.
Okay, I want to, while we're on the subject where maybe you've purged it from your memory and I shouldn't even be talking about this, but we should talk about the elephant in the room and the Johnny Depp movie you're not thrilled with. Your ultimate, I hate this movie.
A Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, or have I mentioned another one?
You haven't mentioned this one yet.
I have
not.
And
I know how you feel about it, Jen. I know how you feel about it. And you know what? Your self-brainwashing techniques have worked. But I'm going to go ahead and throw out Mordecai.
Oh!
I'm so sorry if that's all coming back to you now.
Oh, my God. No, I hated that movie, but it was so fucking stupid. It was funny.
So is it your least favorite role?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I would have to say.
Just making sure we're still keeping the continuity.
Oh yeah, as far as Johnny Depp roles, yes, I would have to say. Well, one exception. I hate Trump, so you know, but yeah, his movie roles, yeah, definitely that would have to be my number one least favorite. Mordecai. Simply, but he played the character so well. He made me, like, just want to throw up.
Right. Yeah, it sucks that it's such an undesirable character. I've seen a few movies. There's been a couple of, like, Schwarzenegger movies where I'm like, I'm sure this is okay with some people, but I hate every single character, hero, villain, neutral, NPC in this movie. I don't like any of these people. And it seems like Mordecai was one of those things where no one is likable.
Right.
Not one character is likable.
Right. Not even, isn't it Gwyneth Paltrow? Not even Gwen
no.
is.
Right.
Is likable in this one.
Right.
And I mean, Paul Bettany, usually you either love him or you hate him.
Yeah.
And in this movie, you're just like tired of him.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, yeah, it's definitely number one least favorite. What about you?
The least favorites.
Aside from the Pirates movies.
You know, I hate to say it out loud.
Uh-oh.
Because a lot of people... I'm so sorry.
Uh-oh. What is it?
You know what, damn it? And I had recently reviewed this and watched it with my brother when I was in Texas in September, October. And I'm going to get, people are going to stalk me for this now. Damn it. I think that my least favorite is Edward Scissorhands.
Oh!
I really do.
No, you didn't!
I know. Actually, all these stalkers that are like, no, you didn't. And then you. Now I got to deal with you.
Oh, please. You've had to deal with me for years.
Yes. Exactly. What have I done?
And
it's still a good role. And when it comes down to it, his roles are still good. He was fantastic individually, pretty much,
right,
as Edward Scissorhands. I always thought the story was kind of weak.
Okay, I can deal with that.
Yeah, kind of like with, you know, the Pirates movies.
Right.
You know, I can't fault Johnny. I can't think of a single movie where this man has dialed it in.
Right.
And was just like, you know, I love Sean Connery. A third of his movies was Sean Connery basically being like, I'm bored with all of you.
Right.
You know, like he's just like dialing it in and like obviously reading off of cue cards and stuff.
Right.
Depp never does this. And so we're just talking about, I don't know, maybe I should have differentiated your least favorite roles, you know, versus the least favorite movies. I think we are still kind of doing it with the roles.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought that, you know, Edward Scissorhands looked really, really cool.
And then it wasn't.
No, but, you know, it was basically Johnny just wearing a lot of, like, goth makeup and, like, pursing his lips into an O. You know, and working his arms frantically.
Right. Okay. All right. I can deal with that. I won't be too hard on you about that.
And you know what? I'll throw one more in.
Okay.
You're gonna, you know, this is piss off Jen Day.
Uh-oh.
I'm gonna do one more to piss off Jen. I was not thrilled with his performance, nor was I thrilled with the movie Into the Woods.
Oh, I knew that. I knew that.
Yeah.
I thought he was on screen for all of like 5 minutes, and I thought it was really cute. You know, it wasn't, you know, an Oscar-winning performance, but it was cute. You know, and I thought he was the perfect big bad wolf.
Yeah.
But you just didn't like the movie.
I didn't like the movie, but that one actually also did seem a little bit dialed in for me.
I think it was more that he was nervous about singing. Even though he, you know, he considers himself a musician, he considers himself a guitarist, not a singer.
Yeah, and different on film, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I thought he was brilliant. I mean, it was not, you know, the role of a lifetime, but it was cute.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. I would have to follow the lines of the joke, if I ever ran into him as the big bad wolf, you know. Oh no, Mr. Wolf, you're not going to let me go. You're going to eat me like the story says.
I saw that coming too. Yeah,
oh, I bet you did.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. It's, not been pleasant here recently. But yeah, Into the Woods, I liked the movie simply because it was kind of goofy and it combined all of the fairy tales, the original fairy tales, not the overblown Disney version fairy tales. The, you know, the original Brothers Grimm where, you know, that it was not always a happy ending and, you know, sometimes people died and, you know, that was that I enjoyed that part of it. You know, because you don't see that. You don't see that very often.
Yeah. I do respect that they were trying to, because a lot of people do this about Disney movies. You know, they'll adapt like Hans Christian Andersen, Brothers Grimm.
Right.
And when it comes down to it, you know, these weren't necessarily, you know, you think you've got a problem with kids watching The Simpsons or whatever.
Right.
Back in the day, these were like kids' stories that terrified them to the bone.
Right. These were not really stories for children. These were not, these were tales to scare your children. These were not bedtime stories. So.
Yeah, and Disney kind of softened it up, and a lot of people, I think, especially Westerners in the last century, don't realize that the original tales did not end like this.
Oh, no. No. Yeah. There were no happy endings. These stories were vicious and cruel.
Oh, very cruel. You know, almost sick. That being said, I think that Into the Woods set out originally to be like, these are dark tales.
Right.
These are very dark tales. But they just kind of blew some opportunities. And frankly, honestly, I hated the music.
I know you did.
It actually made me dislike James Corbin, and he seems like a nice guy
under
any other circumstances. But he gave it his all during this film, and that's what makes me hate it, because he like really swung for the fences at a ball that was not coming at him.
Oh, no. All right.
So,
well, I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
You know, you can't take it too seriously, but I did enjoy it. So,
babe, I literally think that some of these movies that I cite are some of the best of all time, and there's not a single person on the planet that'll agree with me. So,
well, yeah, there is that.
I am all about people having their opinions and subjective experiences with media. You're quite right.
All right, so favorite. Let's see what your favorite Depp movie is.
Can we kind of go back into the top three again? Can we do that sort of?
Top three or top five? What do you say?
Okay, so definitely top. Oh, let's do top five, please.
All right.
If it was Hiddleston, we could do top three, but Johnny's got a massive filmography.
Yes, he does.
So we need to kind of fit that in. Oh, and by the way, Don Juan DeMarco, I also am kind of a detractor on that.
Really?
A little bit. But you know what? It's not because of Depp. It's because of freaking Marlon Brando. And that guy at that point definitely was, I feel, dialing it in. And it made Johnny's performance suffer a bit.
Ah, okay.
Anyway, I'm going to go with, you know how I feel about Ed Wood.
Right.
I can't explain, and I mean, all of these other elaborate roles that he's done, but there was something about Ed Wood where he was so kind of off the deep end, but subtle.
Right.
At the same time, and it was just a totally different character.
If you can be subtle when you're a flaming crossdresser.
Okay, well, subtle compared to like the regular Johnny Depp stuff, Johnny is actually usually like kind of, you know,
true, okay,
smooth and that sort of thing. Ed Wood was over the fucking top, but it wasn't like nuts over the top. And I just felt like he found the sweet spot.
Right. Okay.
With Ed Wood. And I don't know. I just think it's...
Oh, I got it. I get it.
Unrecognized in a gym. Anyway.
Well, I mean, it was definitely a good movie. And I do see what you're saying about the whole subtlety thing. So... Yeah,
you know, he was kind of like, I love women's clothing, you know, and did like the whole over-the-top kind of thing, but he wasn't necessarily screaming at you or, like, bashing the viewer over the head. He was more projecting that slight over-the-topness to, like, Rosanna Arquette.
Right.
You know, in the scene. And so you, as sort of the casual viewer, sort of in the background, you're like, yeah, this seems about right. And of course, Tim Burton.
Absolutely.
Directing it like he's a surgeon.
Yeah, this is true.
I'm also going to go with The Libertine, damn it. I'm sorry. I love that movie.
I love that movie too, but God, it's so sad.
And it is sad, but I so believe in Johnny's mission. Like, I really think that he really loved his character. You know, he loved the Earl.
Right.
And he was trying to make him sympathetic.
Right.
You know, a lot of people would be like, well, these are awful people. You know, they were libertines.
They were.
But, right. You know, and you're just like, ah.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody is the villain in someone's story, so...
You're right.
You know.
And so then I'm going to go on Once Upon a Time in Mexico, if we're talking about the Libertine, because that's kind of the same time.
Right.
And... Dark Shadows. And I'm going to round this off with a movie that I did... It's Tide.
Okay.
Transcendence.
Oh, yes.
Well, and The Tourist, and I didn't realize how much I liked it until we started doing the podcast again. And I really, really, damn it, I really liked The Tourist.
I told you you would.
and there's a few reasons to do it. You know, we talk about him kind of breaking type. And, you know, like he kind of did with Ed Wood, I think that here again with The Tourist, he was definitely aware of the camera. And at the same time, he was also an action hero.
Right.
And so he was doing this great kind of tiptoe balance between the two, and he pulled it off flawlessly.
He did. He was brilliant in The Tourist. The Tourist is definitely in my top five.
Okay. What you got? I just did my five. What you got?
I'm trying to narrow it down to five, actually. Tourist is definitely there.
Okay.
I love the premise behind it, and I love Frank's attitude.
Yeah.
Throughout the movie, like when he first meets Elise. She asks him what he does, and she's... Oh, are you a spy? Are you this? Are you that? And he finally confesses that he is a math teacher for a high school. And she says, oh, but I bet you're the coolest math teacher out there. He goes, yeah, but I'm still just a math teacher. You know, very, very humble, very self-effacing.
Yeah.
I just love that whole attitude. And, you know, there's a few times... that really come through in that movie, like when they're sitting at dinner and she asks him if he's married, and he says he was at one point, and she says, what happened? He says, she left me, and leaves it at that. Then you find out that on paper his wife had died. So just the whole, you know, not asking for sympathy kind of thing.
No, right.
Just putting it out there. And I just, the whole attitude of of the character that Johnny plays is awesome.
Yeah, you know, and that was one of those spots where right away, you're right, at the beginning, he's on vacation. Like, his attitude actually through a lot of this movie, and I think it's great, is, I'm on vacation, guys, come on.
Yeah, leave me alone, you know, please.
I really do, I do love that. Yeah, that being said, if I were like a guy, you know, that was a school teacher from, what was it, Wisconsin or Montana?
Something like that.
And some beautiful woman came up to me and started flirting. I do appreciate how he actually, in fact, decided, you know what? Yes, I'm going to flirt with her. You know? Yeah. And he did okay.
But first, he starts looking around like, where's the camera?
Yeah. Like, this is blowing my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He does. So that's definitely up there. Dark Shadows.
Yeah. So great. Yep. Uh-huh.
Dark Shadows, of course, is up there. Benny and June. I fell in love with Sam from the very first time I saw that movie.
When did you first see it?
Oh, God. I did not see it in the theaters.
Right.
However,
no one did.
Oh, I know. However, I did see it shortly after it came out, and that would have been, oh, let me see.
In the 90s?
I do apologize. Benny and June. 1993 came out the same year as What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Yeah, that was a great double for him.
Oh, yeah. And What's Eating Gilbert Grape was also a great movie. It does not reach my top five, but it is a good movie.
Damn close.
Oh, yeah. It's very close.
Damn close. And there was a lot of Leo DiCaprio there, too, which is kind of ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. Oh, what I find is really funny is that during the 93 awards ceremonies, many of the actors and actresses and other movie people that had not worked with Leo before were amazed that he was a normal person, that he was not mentally deficient.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Right. I remember that being like a big thing because we're people of a certain age.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and a lot of folks thought it was one of those things where, you know, you remember, I guess it was the mom, and she was really, really, really heavy.
Yeah.
You know, she had an actual, and she died not long after, she had an actual physical handicap, if you will. And a lot of people, because Leo was so good at it, they were like, well, this movie is hiring, you know, people that are authentically handicapped, and that's what makes it so great.
Yep.
And, you know, I will say Leo can act. Leo is definitely, to me, a contemporary for Johnny.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's
they're quite.
He is an amazing actor. He can pull off pretty much any role, as he has proven.
What else you got?
Now, so what, that's three? Or is that, or is that two? Which ones did I name? I said...
you said Dark Shadows.
Dark Shadows and the Tourist and Benny and June.
Or Benny and June, excuse me.
Right. Yeah, I absolutely just loved Benny and June. One that I don't care for at all is, and it's movie, not character, but Nick of Time. That one just sucked. I don't like real time movies.
Yeah.
There's too much downtime.
Right? Yeah.
Too much downtime.
Agreed.
Let's see. God, there's so many. The Astronaut's Wife, simply because that the character that he played was so damn sexy. It has something to do with several of his lines. has to do with talking, you know.
I remember.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, this might be another great future show for either actor, but the quote-unquote most sex appeal.
Oh, God, yes.
Roles.
That oh, we done. Really need to do that. Maybe we'll do that one next week.
Yeah, well, it seems like, you know, it's a sneak peek. Astronaut's Wife, that's probably one of the, yeah, I would certainly agree there.
Oh,
It's one of
yeah.
his top five sexiest roles.
Absolutely. Ninth Gate is another one. Chocolat is another one.
Oof.
But let's see. So, favorite roles, let's see. From Hell
Okay.
would be number four.
Why? Okay.
I think that's where we're at, right? We got Benny and June. We got The Tourist. We've got Dark Shadows. From Hell. And I would have to say,
You got one more.
oh, damn it, man. Because I know which one it is, I'm just not sure I want to put it out there.
You know, I've been brave this evening.
Absolutely, you have. I have to say, the last role would have to be Sleepy Hollow.
Damn, that, you know, that's a strong one.
It is.
Sleepy Hollow and From Hell, in a way, to me, are almost in kind of like the same bag where there were historic pieces where he was, you know, brilliant, and they were roughly the same time, if not the same place.
Right. Yep, but yeah, I love Sleepy Hollow from the I had a fascination with the Headless Horseman stories,
Yeah.
from the time I first heard the Headless Horseman stories.
Yeah, the Washington Irving, you know, like
Yes.
classic, holy shit.
Yeah, the absolute, well, the classic was, it was never outrightly said whether there was a true headless horseman or not. It was pretty much a man scared fancies as he's riding home
Yeah,
alone.
right. You know, meanwhile, they ended up establishing, and, you know,
Right.
he was like a Hessian
Exactly.
mercenary. Right.
But from that tale has been spun hundreds of times with hundreds of different premises, but it's all the same tale. And I mean, that's just what I love about it is that they go so in depth with this one as to why the horseman is after these particular individuals. You know, that
Yeah.
yeah, and the background to the Headless Horseman and everything. It's very in
Right.
depth, it's very intricate, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it was very, you know, yeah, intricate. I have to say, it was, especially when you follow it after a few viewings, they really did kind of make that an intricate story.
What I love too is they did toss several cookies in there as acknowledgement of not only the original, not any, but the original Disney short film when they're
Yes.
crossing the wooden bridge,
Oh my God,
the
iconic.
frogs say Ichabod, Ichabod. Yep. Which is what they do in the short animated film from Disney. There are a couple of other little cookies tossed in here and there that are like a nod to the original short film that Disney put out. So that I liked as well. It was like a hey, you know, you helped us get where we are, thanks,
Right.
kind of thing. But the Benny and June was just straight up. He's just so cute.
He
And
is.
he's so understanding. And you have to wonder all the way through the movie, is he mentally challenged? Or is he
Right.
just really understanding?
You know, and it was also one of those things to where this couple might work. She is definitely challenged.
Oh, yeah, paranoid schizophrenic is not something to play with.
So, and Johnny kind of helps you make the case for maybe you need a partner, lover, boyfriend, whatever.
Something, someone.
In a similar situation, but
someone who can look out for you.
Yes, right. And can maneuver and take you and help you.
Well, the original script for Benny and June, at the end, June burns the house down.
Which would be realistic.
But also, it would suck. So they went with the alternate ending.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't do that. Right.
Which, by the way, if anyone has the book, it's called Johnny, A Retrospective. And at this particular moment, I cannot call the name of the man who wrote it. He's full of shit. Don't listen to anything in that book.
Oh, okay. Okay. You went the other way. I didn't know.
You can, read the reviews. Read what he has to say, but I don't think this man has ever watched a Johnny Depp movie in his life.
So is this another Amazon ebook?
No. No, it is not. It is as a matter of fact, I believe I've shown it to you, my dear. It's a hardcover. I have it here now. It's in my hope chest.
But it is a huge hardcover.
Retrospective up until, I think, the third? I want to say the third pirate movie, but it's at least got the first one in it. And yeah. It's all of the movies from birth to this. And he's got a lot to say. The guy who wrote it was a writer for Vanity Fair, so, A guy who writes for Vanity Fair. Anyway, but yeah, he said a lot of not very nice things about several of the movies that I absolutely love. He said Benny and June did not have a happy ending. Okay, I want to know how you figured that one. But anyway, yeah, don't pay too much attention. I have tried numerous times to get a hold of him and possibly get an interview with him. He refuses to return my calls. So, there is that. And as far as I know, he still works for Vanity Fair, so.
Wow, okay.
So, but yeah. Anyway. But, yeah. Just the whole Sam character was amazing. I wish they had included the scene. Because, he makes mashed potatoes with the tennis racket.
Right.
He makes... And everybody knows the whole grilled cheese with the iron. Yeah. And
that made sense to me.
And if there is anyone my age or close to my age who has not tried to make grilled cheese with a flat iron. I'm sorry, I'm afraid I have.
Oh my God.
I don't believe it. I do not. You've done it, haven't you? Haven't you?
Yes. Uh huh. Yes.
Everybody
I think
did.
The iron wasn't hot enough. I didn't have it good enough.
Oh, you didn't put it on rayon?
No, it was a cheap, $9.99 Sunbeam.
I got you. Oh, I had one of those.
Yeah, it was that one.
I got you.
Yeah, you need a little more. You need a little more.
Yeah, but don't put steam to it. That would be bad.
No.
But yeah, everybody's done that. Well, yes. Aside from those two things, he cooks one other food with something incredibly different. Any idea what it is?
I can't remember.
It's not in the movie. It's not in the movie.
Because I can't recall.
He cooks crab legs in the dishwasher.
It's an awful.
That is awesome.
Awful idea. No.
Actually, it's
awesome.
Been proven that it works.
Amazing. You better have some butter.
You let it run.
Just saying.
You let it run through the wash cycle and the rinse cycle. And then when it goes to steam dry, is when you put the crab legs in and let it steam them for 5 to 8 minutes, and you're good to go.
Okay, that makes a little more sense. Okay. Then you put it in. Got you. And I'm going to help you, son. We may need to cut this one a little short.
Oh no, we're not that short. It's at 50 minutes. Tell the kids that Depheads and Hiddlestoners wishes them the best.
Well, no, he's already wrapped this barf bag that they gave him at the doctor's yesterday that hasn't used yet. Now he's using it.
Oh, poor baby.
So yeah.
Oh man. No, you tell him I'm thinking about him.
I will. When he gets out of the bathroom.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, hopefully maybe I can get away to come up there and see you guys and check on the kids and see everybody. And that would be great. Anyway, all right. We'll talk about personal stuff in a moment. So, guys, we're going to cut this short. We've got some sick kids that one of us has to take care of, unfortunately. It's not me. So, sorry about that, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys want to reach us, we're at depheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. You can go to the blog at depheadshiddlestoners.com or go to barryreese.net and click on the link. We also have a dedicated phone line. And that number, if I can find it. And I have discarded it somewhere. Give me just a second. The Depheads and Hiddlestoners, come on, phone. Phone line is... I am so sorry. That phone line is 949-373-5476. Give us a call. One of us will give you a call back. Just let us know when a good time is for that. We'll make sure we follow those parameters. But, Carrie, go take care of your kids. Guys, we'll check you next week and probably continue this discussion. Sound good?
Yeah, it does.
All right. Guys, check you later. Love and peace.
Peace and love.
Bye.